What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It is your boy Andrew here, back with another episode of the Untapped North podcast. I hope everyone's having a great week, getting ready for Thanksgiving weekend. We have lots to be thankful for, lots to be excited for in the world of sports, and today is a first for Untapped North. I just got off the phone with my very good friend, Nick Dunham, and we had the opportunity to talk about the OHL and some ones-to-watch players in the league, as well as foreshadowing some games ahead and talking about some recapping of last night's games. It was a great conversation, and today I want to offer the opportunity for you, the listeners, to also be part of that conversation. So today's episode, Welcome to the OHL, will be a playback of the phone conversation between Nick and myself. I hope you all enjoy it. Without further ado, this is Welcome to the OHL. Thanks for doing this. I'm excited to, give this a shot. It was fun last night. I really appreciate you convincing me to get this OHL television. That's like
super worth, man.
Easily one of the best purchases I've made in a while.
Yep.
And being in Toronto already, I've made a lot of stupid purchases since I've been back. So
true.
So this was good. I feel like we should just like jump right in to kind of talk about some winners and losers of last night. Obviously not just scoreline, I'm talking in-game winners and losers. Obviously the biggest one, you already know who the biggest winner from last night is. Maybe you don't, but for me it's Matvei Petrov.
Absolutely.
Dude, this guy was like, nah, I'm gonna make the OHL like my bitch tonight. And he did.
Yep. Can't complain about any of that performance.
No, you put up a hat trick on 8 shots. And now you lead the OHL in goals.
Yep.
He also looked like he could pretty much score from anywhere. I think he's a threat from all over the ice.
Totally agree with that.
What was his penalty for? Says he had 2 penalty minutes. I don't remember what he took a penalty for.
Let me see if I can find that for you. But yeah, I don't recall.
He was a +2 though. So I mean, considering the scoreline of that game, I'm surprised anybody was a plus at all. I mean,
anything more than a +1 really is
really North Bay beat up on Peterborough 7-4. The other North Bay player I want to give shouts to is Ty Nelson. So I had like zero idea who Ty Nelson was, which is silly because I should have known who Ty Nelson was.
The 1-1 pick.
Yeah, like hello. Know who it is, idiot. That was me last night.
I mean, we didn't have a season last year, to be fair, so.
Yeah, that's true. He also had a penalty last night. Goes to show how I don't think they listed it as nice as the NHL does. I don't think they actually post a little visual aid. And I had 3 different games on. So in all honesty, I could have very well missed the penalty entirely.
Yes, it was very busy last night for us.
But he had 3 assists. And for like, he's 5'8", 172 pounds, and he's 17 years old. Like this guy's a beast.
Absolutely. I just did find out the penalties for Petrov and Nelson happened at the same time in the third period. 8:35 in, there was a roughing for Nelson and Mayer from Peterborough, and then also checking from behind for Petrov in that same little scrum.
Oh, so clearly, it was apparent. Peterborough was, they resorted to violence.
Getting frustrated, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, how could you not? You're kind of getting beat up on first-timers. I don't know if that's fair to say, but, I mean, for a lot of yesterday, there were a lot of
first yesterday, a lot of first goals and first time games for a lot of players. But I just was going off of, you know, maybe obviously not last season because it didn't happen, but the season before that and seasons prior, I never really saw Peterborough get, you know, kind of beat up on, and last night they did.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Who's my last winner? Who am I reading here? Oh, you turned the game off. I somehow managed to keep on the absolute awful stream that was the Niagara and Barrie game. That stream was awful. The feed was bad. The color was bad. Barrie played bad. I'm giving away one of my losers. No, Tucker Tynan, goalie. That was his first regular season game since being sidelined with an injury.
Yes.
From like 2019.
The very graphic slicing with the skate, yeah.
Yeah, yuck. So to come out and have like the type of performance he did, he had 25 saves on 26 shots, one goal against, a .962 save percentage. And he was the last line of defense against the Barrie Colts team that I thought, and you know, and you said it yesterday too, were favorites in a sense this season. Like, they're definitely a favorable matchup this season in the sense of winning, you would think. Or did you say the opposite? Did you say that they were bad?
Barrie,
I can't remember.
Barrie was projected as, I believe it was the fifth ranked team in the CHL in their preseason rankings.
Yeah.
So last night was a bit of a surprise to most people.
Yeah, they did not look as projected whatsoever. Mind you, I think Niagara's defense, they played outstanding. Again, Tynan had a great game in between the pipes. So those are my three winners. Did you have any winners who you wanted to talk about?
I do, actually. You more went the route of the younger players, you know, the big surprises, the first goals, the first assists, first games, that kind of area. I felt more that the winners last night were a lot more of the veterans. Brandon Coe from the battalion, two goals, two assists last night. Just seemed to be all over the ice, big force. And for Sarnia, both Theo Hill and Ben Gaudreau, great games from both of them. Hill had two goals and an assist, and Gaudreau, I mean, what was it, 27 saves, 28 saves last night, I believe it was. You know, great game for him.
Yeah, he had, Gaudreau, 29 saves on 32 shots.
Okay, that's what it was, yeah.
Jeez, no kidding.
And Windsor didn't look like a bad team by any means.
No, I don't think Windsor looked like a bad team, but Xavier Medina sure did.
That's for sure. Yep, I will give you that.
Oh my, he's my number. I only have two losers today. He's my number one loser. And I don't know, I'm not ever trying to shit on a kid, because at the end of the day, like, you know, these are kids. But I mean, he had five goals against, like, his save average was bad. He only played he made it 47 minutes. I'll give him that. I think they pulled him at like the 46 minute and 50 second mark or something like that of the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, okay, I'll give you that. I don't think he should have gone out there for the third. Start the third period with your backup. I don't know. In my opinion, like, start the third period with your backup. If I'm the coach, that's the decision I'm making. Maybe they felt the game was already lost by that point. I'm not entirely. I'm going to see if I can pull up what the score line was by the end of. No, that's the wrong game. Oh, I love Max. Sometimes I feel like my cursor just moves automatically.
Just fill the dead air. Just talk about anything.
That's what I'm doing currently. And fun fact, if you go to OntarioHockeyLeague.com, they give you all the replays automatically every page that you go to. So you always have to close your audio beforehand.
It was 3-2 after the second period.
Yeah, wow. I was just about to say that too. Yep,
yeah.
just a little slower over on my end. But it was still a winnable game.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I guess that makes sense. So you put Medina out there and then I'm not sure what period or what goal it was. I just remember at one point he looked up in the air and he like clapped. I swear he clapped. He looked up in the air and clapped. And then Sarnia is like cheering behind the net. Like they had put the puck in behind him and he's looking up in the rafters, clapping. I'm not sure if he was saying a prayer, like get me out of this net, please. I don't want to be here. I'm not sure if he was catching flies. I have no idea what he was looking at, but it has to be one of the funniest replays from last night.
He was just prepared to go full Patrick Waugh, get me out of here. I'm never playing another game for this team.
Yeah, pretty much. And speaking of whole team, my second loser from last night are the Barrie Colts. I can't call them losers because I think, like you said, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Last night was what it was. They don't have Clark because he's out with mono. They only had one forward who really showed up yesterday and scored the one goal. But they're really just like my biggest losers because like they also just had like such a bad stream that I just like couldn't do it.
It was tough to watch for sure.
Yeah, I just from an aesthetics point of view, Barrie Colts, you guys are losers. Any losers that you want to touch upon?
No, I think we've about covered it between the two of us. I mean, I was definitely a lot more hopeful for Ty Austin last night with the Peets. But, I mean, the Battalion didn't really do anything wrong last night. And no matter how good of a goalie you are, when you get those situations and you get up against those teams, you just do the best that you can with what you have. And actually, I take that back. I will say a big loss for the Peets defense because there were so many times where I would just look away for a second and look back and it's a 3-on-1 for the Battalion or a 2-on-1 for the Battalion and just giveaway after giveaway and leaving Austin hung out to dry.
Funny, I feel like that's what the Peets defense were doing too. They were like looking away and then looking back and realizing like, oh shit. No, I agree. There were a lot of odd man and a lot of 3-on-1s. I don't know if the Battalion just play a very it'll be interesting to see them play the Hounds tonight to see if
Absolutely.
They're still as offensive and just like strong on the puck. Yeah, they just like 3-on-1s for me. I noticed. I was like, oh, there's another one. Oh, there's wow. I've seen like 4 3-on-1s in 2 periods. Because I mean, like you said, Austin, I think he'll be fine as well. Like, don't get me wrong. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this until just now. Verbetic had an assist.
Did he? I did not realize that either.
North Bay Battalion goalie with a cheeky little assist last night.
Oh, yeah, on Coe's power play goal in the first.
So there you go. Literally players doing it all.
Yeah, you do love to see that. I mean, especially with the Battalion in previous years, they've always, and I know they're under a new coaching, like they got a new head coach, new management and all that. But for the longest time, they were always just a trap playing team, and it was so boring to watch them.
Well,
they just
now,
tie you up in the middle of the ice, and that's it.
Yep. Well, considering,
and the game ends 2-1, 2-0.
Those are awful games. I'm not a fan.
And seeing all of these breakouts and these odd man rushes, and especially with like the team that they have, like, this looks like it could be probably one of, if not the best battalion team that has come out of North Bay.
That's a hot take. I like that.
I mean, I haven't been there for that long, but, you know.
Fair. I'm pretty sure I was looking at the schedule. I'm pretty sure the Greyhounds and the Battalion play something like 8 times.
It's going to be something, a lot of viewing for us then.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they play the Pete, or I think it's either the Pete, no, it's the Storm. The Hounds play the Storm something like 11 times this season.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I'm not sure which teams they are, but some of them are up to 12 maximum. 12 times a season. So, like, I'm excited for rivalries. I'm excited for things like that. Didn't also realize that the Christopoulos kids were twins, but
yes.
They are.
Yes.
So that's me just kind of discovering a little bit more about North Bay as we talk today. Sucks to see him go out with a major penalty at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't know. It looked nasty. Going to the NHL really quick. Shouts, hope Zach Cassian is okay. I'm not sure if you saw what happened to Cassian last night.
I did not, no.
He got into a scrap and fell face first onto the ice and laid motionless for far too long for my liking. There's footage of him walking down the tunnel, getting to his face, probably broke his nose, definitely knocked him out. But he had lost his helmet in the fight, and then he just went down on his head. And that's the kind of stuff that they don't want in the game. I don't think they want to eliminate, quote, fighting, end quote. I think they want to eliminate that sort of stuff, but it's almost inevitable that those sorts of injuries are going to happen.
Yeah, it's a freak injury. You can't really.
Do you think Christopoulos gets suspended?
No.
No? You just think they just had to take him out of that game because of how it looked and what it was? And...
I think so, yeah.
Sure. Good that they went to review it right away. Got to give shouts to the OHL for that. The refs reviewed it right away and made the decision to get him out. I don't know.
Yep.
Some people would maybe disagree that that's too quick of a call and how can you assess one hit? But, I mean, the guy laid there. Motionless. I hate that.
Yeah. They want to do it right.
And keep it consistent. Now it's about keeping it consistent. If that's the precedent you're going to set, we need to see that consistently now.
Yep.
Throughout the league.
100%.
Wow. Kind of talking about various players kind of leads us into our next topic that I wanted to touch upon. Kind of put the ball in your court and let our listeners kind of hear a little bit about some ones to watch players. If you want to take a book out of EA Sports FIFA, nobody wants to do that.
not quite.
But some OHL ones to watch. What can you tell us about some ones to watch?
So, I mean, there's obviously going to be some guys that are, you know, the Shane Wrights. You can't not watch him. You have some time, you see that Kingston's going to be playing, you're going to watch the game. Day in, day out, he is going to be making some amazing plays, and, you know, there's a reason why he's projected to go first overall. But for more of, like, the untapped North theme and staying with the Northern teams, we did touch on the Battalion, Matvei Petrov, Ty Nelson, Brandon Coe, Joe Verbedek. Those are my four, really, that, you know, we already spoke on and everything, so I don't think I need to kind of beat that point home some more. So, you know, moving west a bit more with the Sudbury Wolves, that team looks really good. I watched their preseason game against the 67s, very chippy, chippy game, but they've been doing really well in the preseason, and they were also doing that without a number of their veteran players. But for their young guys, you know, Quentin Musty, he first overall pick, he's looked great so far. You know, a lot of these kids, they didn't really have a season last year. They were doing whatever they could. But he looks like he hasn't even missed a beat, and he is going to be a force for the Wolves. As well as Coach Adelic, David Goyette, and Evan Konyan. All three of them, again, they've looked great. They seem to be all over the ice, super talented. Again, in a couple of years, this Wolves team, if they can figure out their goaltending situation, is going to be very, very good. And then, you know, you've got the likes of Chase Stillman and Jack Thompson, who have been developing nonstop. And, you know, they were late cuts in both of their NHL camps that they were at. And, you know, that says a lot for these kids, especially when you've got a lot of talent in the camps that those two were at. Did you have anything you want to touch on with the Wolves?
No, I mean, you nailed every single player. I was worried that maybe Stillman was going to get left out of the mix there, and then you were like, oh, Stillman bomb. I'm excited for the Wolves. As much as I would appreciate if they lost every game that like they played against the Hounds, they've always been a feisty, gritty team, but they've always kind of relied on being just like a hard hitting, get in your face kind of Brad Marchandy type players who are just like, they're, don't get me wrong, the talent is there. I mean, look at a guy like Brad Marchandy, pot goals from seems like anywhere behind the hash marks if he wants to, but he'll also lick your face. And in true Wolves fashion, they were always like an in-your-face, lick-your-face team. Like, you throw one punch, we'll throw five.
Yep.
But now I think they're almost turning the page, and they're turning into, like you said, a dominant, like, offensive team with some defensive ups as well. I think they're a force and could be. I think it depends on matchups too. This season's going to be weird because of how many teams are playing each other X number of times. And so the schedule is a little weird, and I think it will play a factor in playoffs and all that stuff. But I mean, we're only talking about game one. It's too early to talk about any of that kind of stuff yet.
Absolutely.
But as far as Wolves go, no, I'm like you. I'm kind of, you know, I'm excited for them, but I hate them.
Oh. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the thing that's going to be the downfall for the Wolves, in my opinion, is their goaltending. I mean, Weeks has looked good, but really they haven't had any solid, consistent goaltending since Luukkonen was their goalie. And, you know, like, you can only go so far. You can score 5 goals a game with your great offense, but if you're letting in 6, you're taking the loss.
Yeah, I don't know how strong goaltending is going to be necessarily, like, throughout the entire league.
Agreed.
I think Kingston has, I mean, people are saying Kingston's the best team in the O this year. So, I don't know to which regard. I haven't really looked up too much about that. I saw the article, saw the headline, and kind of grazed through the first like few sentences where it was basically just like, yay Frontenacs. I'm probably pronouncing his last name wrong. Marilainen?
That's how I would go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's an Ottawa Senators pick, so do the Sens know what they're talking about when it comes to draft picks? Yet to be seen. But I think he has, like, he's ranked 36th on, like, Sports Illustrated, Hockey News, CHL's, like, ones to watch. And I'll be looking forward to, like, watching a couple Kingston games, seeing if he can be dominant. But back to my earlier point, I don't know if goaltending is going to be the strong suit this year amongst the entire league. Nobody played, you know, some players played something last year, I'm sure. Like, they got ice time in where they could. But
yeah, a lot of guys played in Europe.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not getting we could see a lot of Battalion Pete's score lines this year.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of 7-4. A lot. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw 10 goal games within this first weekend. If we saw a 10 goal game, I'll call it right now.
There is no goaltender in this league that is going to have a spotless goals against. Let's just put it that way. Or even a respectable one, maybe.
No, I don't. That is a point that you and I can definitely agree on. I don't think goaltending is going to be very good. So I have no ones to watch with goaltending. No.
Okay, cool. Well, speaking of goaltending issues, let's move on to the Sioux Greyhounds.
Oh, fun.
That's going to be an interesting little bit. I mean, two rookie goalies, no OHL experience, but they haven't looked bad. They haven't looked great, but they haven't looked bad. You know, if we can get lucky and, you know, have a relative unknown turn into another Matt Villalta, then I will be the happiest camper out there.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I'm not confident at all. I think the Hounds are for sure already looking at which veteran goaltenders, if there are any, that they could go after that would improve the team.
There are very few that are outside of the Western Conference, and I don't think anyone's going to be selling their veteran goaltenders to the same conference. So
probably not, but we've seen teams do crazy things before. But no, they haven't even named a starter tonight. So I don't know. Are both of these rookies just waking up today and showing up at the rink, not knowing?
I feel like they know. It's just not making it public knowledge at this point. You know, like,
where are you hiding it from? It's just St. Marie. Let us celebrate let us celebrate the kids. I don't know. I'd be stoked to find out. I want to know. Show us the starting lineup. Do something. Maybe they just don't want the battalion to read it on the bus.
It'll be another couple hours, and then they'll be out probably, you know, around 3 o'clock. Give us the opening, give us the full lineup.
Official countdown on the Greyhounds website is 7 hours, 17 minutes, and now 25 seconds to puck drop. So
50th anniversary season, too.
Oh, yeah. Happy anniversary. 50 years. What do you get somebody on their 50th anniversary? Isn't that a thing?
Hopefully a Memorial Cup. I mean,
Yeah, well, not hosting it.
Hey, I don't have to host it if they can win it. I don't care.
I want to find out how to maybe, like, win the division first. Maybe win our first game. This guy's over here talking about winning a Memorial Cup already. We got two rookie goaltenders.
I mean, I did watch the 2018 final the other day where we lost to the Bulldogs in 6 games. So, you know, heartstrings are kind of still reeling on that one.
Fuck you, Boris Kachuk.
God.
There, I said it. That's just celebration will haunt me forever.
Just standing at the blue line and then shushing the entire opposing crowd.
Only for them to just immediately fall apart.
Wipe the floor.
Oh, my, that's awful.
Anyways, we'll stay out of the past and get back to the present day. We don't need to talk about this one anymore.
No, that hurts. It hurts.
It does. It really does.
Who are your top three Wolves to watch on Saturday?
I would probably say Stillman, Thompson, and Delek.
I respect it.
Yep. And as for the Greyhounds, really interested to see what the rookies are going to pan out to be. Bryce McConnell Barker, projected first round pick for his draft year for the NHL. The Russian import defenseman that we got, who I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. tonight on the broadcast.
I've been looking it over in like various articles, and I just call him his first name. Just call him Kirill.
Yeah,
Kirill the Thrill.
On the broadcast. He is Kirill the Thrill.
I have a feeling that Liscombe is only going to call him Kirill the Thrill. I don't even think Jerry's going to try to say his last name.
I mean, we'll find out. And I'm really interested to see how Jordan Dantino pans out. He had 3 points against Sudbury the other night. I mean, you can't complain about that in a preseason game. It was a bit of a blowout game, but, I mean, still a rookie getting his first, you know, few shifts out there against OHL competition. And it'll definitely be nice to see how Rory Cairns, Tanner Dickinson, Ryan O'Rourke, they've all kind of matured and everything. And, you know, they've gotten their experience either in the AHL or in NHL camps. So it'll be nice to see how they're going to translate that back. And I think that O'Rourke may be one of the top overall defensemen in the league this year.
Yeah, I took the words right out of my mouth. Minnesota got a steal in that kid.
Absolutely.
Easily can turn. I think he has the opportunity to be the best two-way player this season in the league. I'll say it right now. He may not play on the best team, but I think he has the opportunity to do that. You said Tanner Dickinson as well. I'm excited for that kid. Looking over the team, I think I'm more excited for Schenkel, the 17-year-old goalie, than I am Ivanov. Just I like to hype up the kids a little bit more. I think Ivanov is going to get the start. He's 18, a little bit more maturity. I'm sure he's played a couple men's leagues in his life. You know,
yep.
So that's just my opinion. You're going to. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you know who I'm excited for, only because. For me, it's put up or shut up, and I've given this guy all sorts of flack every single season. But his last preseason game was impressive. Joe Carroll.
I entirely disagree with you.
Hear me out. This is like the last straw for Joe Carroll. I've been saying this is the last straw for Joe Carroll for like 3 seasons. But I think there's a good chance we see some form of breakout that I can't even say this with confidence. I'm really trying because I want to give the guy. No, I really want to because I want to see the guy do something. And his last 2 games, I think it's there. I think it's there this year. And I don't know if it was the year off to like clear your head, figure it out, whatever that it is. I have no idea. And like, I'm the first to say, this is the biggest flip-flop in minor league watching history because every single Hounds game that I've been to in the last 3 seasons has been, I hate this Carroll kid. I can't stand this guy. Get this guy off the ice. I've said it in front of his billet family here or whoever is actual family. I have no idea. I've said it in front of the people he's with here. I've gotten into disagreements. I've gotten into a lot of agreements, but I think this is it. I think this is it. He's got it. I think he's going to figure it out. You're going to probably school me right now and disagree, but so make it quick and painless.
All right. So for you saying this may be the biggest flip-flop in minor hockey watching history, I'm going to disagree with that because as you know, for years on end, I was always, this is going to be Carroll's season. He's a big body. He's got it. He just floats around too much. But, you know, he can, he's got the hockey sense. He's got the scoring skill. And he did show it at the end of the last season. He went on an absolute tear in the second half. But I just don't think he has it. This is not his year. It's his, you know, you're right. It's his put up or shut up year because it's an overage season. But I don't think he makes it out of this season as a member of the Sioux Greyhounds. They've got five overagers, and I don't see him making it out. I see them flipping him for like a fourth round pick at best.
Wow.
I've had too much faith in him for too long, and I can't do it anymore.
And that's why I'm here trying to keep the faith, I guess. I don't know where.
No, because you've been the pessimist this entire time, and then he starts showing it. I'm like, nah, it's not it. This ain't it.
So if you're looking at the Greyhounds overagers, I'm pretty sure, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Joe Carroll, Cole McKay, Alex Johnston, and Ty Cartier.
And Rob Kalisti.
My boy. shout out to Randy, Randy Chartrand, who is a huge Kalisti fan as well.
Shouts to Randy.
He's not a Kalisti fan, the opposite. But I had to give
still
him.
Still shouts to Randy.
Randy, huge shouts to Randy. But no, you said Kalisti, McKay, Carroll, Johnston, Cartier. Those five.
Yeah, I believe that's it.
Okay, so if you're looking at the wingers, because oddly enough, those four forwards, I think they're all wingers too. You would rank Carroll at the bottom of that list.
I just, like I said, I've tried to have him for so long, and I just can't do it.
No, I understand. I get it. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, the Greyhounds did lose Billy Constantino, which was tough.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Kalisti mixed with O'Rourke and Kirill the Thrill would have been probably the top four defensive players. Defenders, not defensive players, because Kalisti and Constantino could easily outscore most offensive players in this league. But it probably would have been one of the best mixed top fours in the league, if not the best.
Yeah, the Constantino loss stings.
Yeah.
I'm not confident that that was his best decision either. I mean, I don't watch the ECHL.
Agreed.
I just don't. I don't even know how to find a stream.
Who wants to go to Iowa in general? I mean, that's the real question here.
Oof, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. O'Rourke better. I don't think he'll spend a lot of time in Iowa with the AHL squad. I think he'll be a Minnesota Wild player as early as next season, maybe the season after. I mean, he's good, that good. And Minnesota loves young defensemen. I mean, look at Matt Dumba. Look what they did. They brought him up as early as they could, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just kind of reading, again, this last little article. And like we said, there's no, at this time, John Dean, no announcement on who we could see starting, like starting lineups, nothing behind the pipes. Or between the pipes. If you were behind them, that's a problem.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, tonight it's a 7:07 start. What's up with the 07? Have we talked about this?
I believe we've talked about it before, but I don't think we ever came to an answer.
I guarantee you somewhere somebody said it takes 3 minutes to do both national anthems and any announcements, and that way they can do puck drop at 7:10. Or is it puck drop at 7:07? I've never quite
puck
actually...
Puck drop 7:07, so yeah. Get everything started at 7.
At 7. That's very... I don't know. See, I've always just found that to be so odd. Baseball the same way.
Yeah, like I'm going to a sporting event, not a movie. Like I don't need to say, hey, show starts at 6, and then I'm still watching previews until 6:15.
Going to a hockey game, not a movie. Oh, that's good. But you're right. Yeah, I'm not there for the previews unless you're giving me swag.
Yeah.
So, whatever. What are you, overall score predictions? What do you think for tonight and for Saturday?
For tonight, I want to say it's tough because I haven't seen actually like any gameplay from the Greyhounds. I've seen the Wolves. I've seen the Battalion. I'm going to call a 4-2 Battalion win and 5-3 Greyhounds over Wolves.
I respect that. It is tough because we haven't seen Greyhound play. We don't know any lineups. I don't know if I can disagree with those predictions. I was even going to say, depending on who they start and how the goalie situation goes for the Hounds, we could see the Battalion roll away with this one. The Hounds are an interesting team though, because I think every game is situational, but I've found in years past this team to just go from like full of energy to absolute deflation, even after one goal. And
absolutely,
I think we saw them getting out of that rut. What now would be 2 seasons ago, because there wasn't a season last year. We saw them get out of, you know, start to get out of those ruts in that playoff run, despite the, you know, the celebrations and all that kind of BS. But we've seen them slowly change that dynamic. So, I mean, if the Battalion come out firing on all cylinders again, like they did last night, there's a chance that we see the same, we see like a 7-2 scoreline, 8-2, who knows. I think the Battalion will probably take the win. If the Greyhounds get a win, it's like somehow like the grittiest, like 2-1, 3-2 win off a leg at the end of the game, kind of weird game. Send the fans home happy. 5-3 Sudbury will lose. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
the Greyhounds are going to win against Sudbury 5-3. For sure.
I think the only chance that the Greyhounds are going to have against the Battalion really is to start off fast. I mean, the Battalion just played last night, had a tough game last night. Scrappy, not score-wise, obviously. But they're going to have those bus legs. It's a 4.5, maybe 5-hour trip from North Bay to the Sioux. So, you know, they're leaving right now to get there a little bit early and still going to have a little bit of bus legs.
Yeah, I always hated traveling. I always, like, anytime we had to travel anywhere for any sort of, like, competition or whatever, I always made my parents leave the day. I say, like, made. Like, obviously, they had the ultimate choice, and they blessed me with the opportunity to be able to do the things that I did. But they always would let me leave. Like, we would always leave a day before we needed
yep.
to, because I didn't want to have car legs or bus legs and then have to compete either that night or even the next day. And I always liked having a full day of being able to, like, be on my legs and do all that, which is why, like, when you think about those sorts of things, you have to remember, like, these kids put themselves through, like, you know, incredible things to deliver us OHL and CHL hockey. So shouts to everybody who does that, obviously. Do you think the Battalion go back to Verbetic tonight, or do you think they start their backup?
Stick with Verbetic.
Yeah. I think so too. He had a decent game. Plus he contributed offensively. So, I mean, you don't really want to bench a guy who's in a rhythm.
Yeah. I think you stick with, what you know, what's good until you kind of figure out, because at this point, the coaches don't even really know who's going to be good, who's going to be bad this year. So you stick with what's good, try and get yourself, a solid lead in your division, in your conference, and then start mixing in your backup goalie against those weaker teams later on in the season.
Establishing yourself first is important.
Exactly.
And we've seen teams mismanage themselves. I look at the NHL example of Pete DeBoer and how he completely overthought the Vegas Golden Knights goaltending situation against the Habs, and how, as a Habs fan, don't get me wrong, I love Marc-Andre Fleury, but I was laughing at you, Fleury, when he gave up that gaffe in Montreal. Like, that kind of stuff is awesome. From that perspective. But then DeBoer was like, oh, I don't know what to do now. Start the other goalie and then he'll get a win and he'll be dominant.
Oh, and then I'll just go back to Fleury.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, such a mess.
Such a mess. And I think for OHL teams, avoiding a mess early on is important because it can get very messy very fast.
Yeah, and these are all young kids, like we've been saying, like it doesn't take a lot to knock them off. You lose a little bit of confidence, and that goes a long way with your performance. But at the same time, you gain a little bit of confidence, and that goes a long way with your performance, too, on the flip side of it.
Yeah, that's why I think minor league hockey is more exciting that way.
Agreed.
Because these kids are still finding out who they are, not just as players, but as human beings as well. And they're a little bit less established. And it's fun to see them get excited over, like yesterday, they're still getting excited over 7-4. And the Petes, you see Petes players kind of give that little bit of a celebration at that fourth goal, even though they tied it up at 4, that was it, right? They didn't get a chance to celebrate after that, but you never saw them. Even at 7-4, you never saw the team sort of get so, get too down on themselves and all that stuff. They did look composed. They did look poised. And I think, especially going into, I think they play again tonight, if I'm not. Do the Petes play again tonight as well? Yeah, well, the Petes are playing Sudbury tonight.
Yep.
So how about that? So they're also playing a back-to-back. So I think it's a good opportunity for Sudbury to get the win tonight then.
Agreed, yeah.
Do you have a prediction for tonight?
I'm going to call a Wolves win. I just don't have a score.
That's fair.
I mean, they were very strong in the preseason. I mean, they had their little blunder against the Greyhounds, but, I mean, can't win them all, right? But I think that they're going to take the win tonight for sure.
Well, if you're a numbers guy, over the last 5 years, Peterborough is 3-5 when visiting Sudbury. So Sudbury's got the wins advantage over the last X number of years. Season, yep. That's like a whole season. Head to head there. I looked at that yesterday in the Thursday night football game, and then you saw a player who had a very mediocre record on primetime football completely dominate Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. But now I'm getting into a tangent and into a sport that I truly don't care about that much. But I just wanted to make that reference. Geez, you look at the last 5 years at Peterborough Petes. Peterborough's got a 6-1 record against you guys in Sudbury. You guys, Sudbury just can't get the win in Peterborough, or what?
It's those square corners, man. Nobody likes playing in Peterborough.
Not even Peterborough.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? I really appreciate taking the time to do this. this was exciting. This was fun to just kind of talk to somebody finally, and something that I want to continue. I think if we do a couple more of these, definitely, you know, throughout the season, we've got that OHL hockey package now. So what better way to watch hockey than to talk about it after?
Yeah, definitely a pleasure to be on here. And yeah, I look forward to talking about this some more, get a couple more episodes in throughout the season.
Cool. Well, go Wolves, go Hounds. And
go Battalion after tonight.
Right, and then go Battalion after tonight. I'm cool with that.
Cool.
Nick, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, buddy.
All right, ciao.
Later.
And that's it. I really hope you appreciate being part of that conversation and that experience. We both look forward to doing more episodes like this in the future. Definitely a longer episode of the Untapped North podcast than we are accustomed to, but not one that we are going to shy away from. So for those of you who have stuck around, I very much appreciate it. For those who might have fast-forwarded to the end, you missed a lot of great content, and I suggest you go back. If you're looking for more great sports content, you can follow Untapped North on Instagram and Facebook at Untapped North. Or you can visit our website, www.untappednorth.com. I hope you all have a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll be back soon. Peace.
Have a great time.